Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this Sunday, which celebrates the presentation of the Lord. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Luke and read the Word of Life for February. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Maybe you're a waiter who's always wanted to be a celebrity, or you're a celebrity who's always wanted to be a waiter. Perhaps you've been a celebrity waiter and want to do it again, or just maybe you've never been either one but would like to try your 15 minutes of fame in front of an audience. The Spirit Center's 8th Annual Celebrity Waiter Dinner Fundraiser, titled Noche Cubana Tropical, is set for April 16th, that's after tax time, at Corpus Christi Country Club. This is your big chance to be a celebrity waiter, help raise funds for the Blunzer Spirit Center Retreat Complex, and be where everybody knows your name. Remember, the best way to get noticed is to help others. To volunteer or get more information, call Sylvia at the Spirit Center, 888-7537. You'll always remember the night you were a celebrity waiter for the Spirit Center, 888-7537.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very well. Barbara, and yourself?
Yes, doing great.
Good.
Hard to believe that we're already in February.
It's here.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves and two pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in age, having lived 7 years with her husband after marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, as you were reading this, this is a, to me, it's a very visual gospel. I mean, you can almost picture Mary and Joseph coming with their baby, you know, and so many people surrounding him and presenting him to the Lord. But it was a beautiful scene.
Yes, it certainly is a continuation of the whole scene of the Lord's birth. And, of course, the Mary and Joseph were following the precepts of the law. And that's, mm-hmm. to me, that makes it even more interesting that perhaps themselves not fully realizing the impact that Jesus would have, knowing that he was from God, born of the Holy Spirit. But still they followed the simple precepts mm-hmm. that were theirs as people of faith in the Jewish faith at the time. So, but it does bring out a lot of imagery, as you said.
And it was interesting in the very first part, as reading again, they have to offer a sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance to the dictate of the law.
Right, right. So we've made that into a song of two turtle doves and some pigeons here and pigeons there.
Yeah.
But it was certainly the custom of the law to take what was of the earth and present it in sacrifice to God. The figure of Simeon, I think in some ways, is a figure of each one of us. We, in the pastoral letter, which I've put out to the entire diocese and something that will accompany us for a while, there is the word yearning, that people are yearning for communion. They're yearning for God. They're yearning for something different and new. And I think mm-hmm. Simeon, for us, represents that today, that he was a righteous and devout man awaiting the consolation of the Lord. And as Mary handed him over to Simeon, his words were, "Now, Lord, it's fulfilled. You may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." We live in an atmosphere which has many, many characteristics, many negative characteristics, but at a deep level, it's a very beautiful time because we are awaiting. We're people who are in a yearning mode. And when we find what we're looking for, which is redemption, which is the Savior, which is Jesus Christ, that yearning, that waiting with anxiousness, as Simeon did, can be brought to fulfillment. I know this past Christmas, the Holy Father gave a beautiful homily at midnight mass, but he ended it with a little story, which just touched me very, very greatly. And just to summarize it, it was the shepherds who were going to, and it's not true. I mean, we don't know that it's true. But there were shepherds who were going to the manger in Bethlehem, and they each brought gifts from different sources that they had from their homes or from the produce of the land or whatever they had. But there was one who had nothing. And the story goes that there was quite an embarrassment in his life coming to the manger and somewhat realizing what was before him. And so his head was bowed, and as the others presented their gifts, Mary and Joseph looked at him, and they were uncomfortable that he was uncomfortable, that he had nothing, and that he was embarrassed that he had nothing. And at that point, Mary took the baby Jesus from her arms and handed him over to the shepherd. "Now you have everything."
Oh.
But I think that's very significant, even though it's a story.
Right.
But we see it here also repeated in this the account of the presentation of the temple. Handing Jesus over to those that are waiting. That is the commission, the mission of all of us. We get involved in many, many things, many important things, but whatever we're doing, whatever our cause is, if we're not handing, as Christians, if we're not mm-hmm. handing over the child Jesus into those that are wanting him, that are looking for him, that are anxious, that are lost, that are, if our causes, if our group that we belong to, if whatever we're doing in the name of Christianity and the name of what we think is right, mm-hmm. if we're not at the same time handing over the person of Jesus Christ through that action that we are performing, we're missing the mark and we're depriving others of what they're looking for. I was just reading an experience of a priest in Syria who was put in prison. But his whole time there in that difficult situation was loving the people around him, the other prisoners, the guards, and he was released. But it's not the fact that he was released, but he was released because something touched those people's lives. Cardinal Van Tuan, also who's cause for beatification is up, is present in the church. 13 years in a prison in Vietnam. But he knew that even there he had a mission, and that was to be Jesus Christ for those people. The guards, in fact, the story goes, they had to change the guards more often because they were all kind of getting converted with this kind man, and so they were getting a little soft on the story there. But he brought them the message of Jesus by his actions, not by his words only, but by his actions. And so I think this presentation of Jesus to Simeon is a presentation of the truth of God in the arms of a person, and in our case, the arms of people, the arms of the world who are waiting for something new, waiting for redemption, waiting for the message of Jesus Christ. And so as we celebrate today that presentation of the Lord in the temple, it's an offer. It's a time for us to reconsider ourselves in our life, just going about our daily activities. What are we offering to the world? What are we offering to that person that we meet by chance, wherever, the grocery store, at the office? Are we aware of who we are, what we have as Christians, the Son of God? Are we aware of who we have in our lives and that we, like Mary and Joseph, can hand him over to those that are longing for him?
I'm thinking that it's the not what we're doing, but how we're doing it with kindness.
Well, it's more than kindness. You know, when you look at love, kindness is an aspect of love, right, but it's something more. Jesus loved his own. He loved him to the end. So that's where we go to the next part, where Simeon announces to Mary that a sword will pierce her heart. It's not easy to turn over and to be that person of love to others. It costs us. So it's more than just, you know, a simple smile, although that certainly can be the conduit, but to know that as we're in front of somebody who is maybe even kind of against us, but to not buckle under that, but to be as Mary with the sword through our heart, but nevertheless loving those people that are listening to them, not judging them, that costs. Mm-hmm. That costs, and that's the sword that pierced Mary's heart to not judge those who were against her son, but to also love them as well.
Interesting in the sense that she could have been very hateful to those
bitter
people.
Yes,
and which is a human
emotion.
But
she treasured these things in her heart. So when Simeon said this to her, she knew that love would cost. And I think we should all be aware of that too. If we truly love, there will be, as Mother Teresa used to say, there'll be a hint of suffering or maybe bigger in it. So if we're not, you know, loving costs. Let me just leave it like that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for February. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Waffles in the morning. The St. Teresa Catholic Church Altar Society's annual Valentine Waffle Breakfast is on the calendar. The date, Sunday, February 9th, from 8:30 till 12:30 in the Parish Hall, 1302 Lantana Street. Enjoy hot and delicious all-you-can-eat waffles prepared by St. Teresa Altar Society members. Your meal will include all the fixings: sausage, strawberries, syrup, powdered sugar, coffee, and orange juice. Oh! Bring your sweetheart and join in for great food, fun, and fellowship. For more information, call 361-960-2062.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. With this being the first Sunday in February, we have the Focolare Word of Life, and I say this every time, Bishop. It's always a beautiful, beautiful scripture for us to reflect on every month.
Yes, it is. I loved last month as well. We did the, you know, he was welcomed with great kindness.
Yes.
St. Paul, that was a great opportunity to welcome others as well. Mm-hmm. So this month of February 2020, the Word of Life is, Immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem with his disciples. He had begun to prepare them for this decisive appointment. He was going to meet with rejection by the religious authorities, be condemned to death by the Romans, and then be crucified and rise again. This was very difficult for Peter and the other followers to understand, but Mark's gospel enables us to gradually comprehend Jesus' mission. The vulnerability of his suffering will be the means of salvation for humankind. On the journey, Jesus met many people, and because of his openness, he understood their needs. Here we see him responding to a father who was crying out and asking him to heal his son, who had serious difficulties. The child was probably suffering from epilepsy. For the miracle to happen, Jesus had to make a request. He asked the father to have faith. Immediately, the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." The father shouted his answer in front of the crowd that had gathered around Jesus. His words seemed almost contradictory. This man, like us, understood how fragile faith can be. It is difficult for him to trust completely in God's love, in his plans for each of his children. However, it is also true that God trusts us and does nothing without our contribution, without our freely given yes to him. He asks us to do our part, though it may be small. He asks us to recognize his voice that speaks through our conscience, to trust him, and as a consequence, to begin to love. Immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." We are often immersed in a culture that regards aggressiveness as the key to success. This aggression can be expressed in a variety of ways. In contrast, the gospel presents us with a paradox. We can look at our own weaknesses, limits, and frailty as the starting point of relating to God and in participating with him in the greatest of challenges, the unity of the entire human family. Throughout his life, Jesus taught us about the logic of service and of taking the lowest place. This is the perfect position to transform what could seem a defeat into victory, which is not transitory and selfish, but enduring and shared by all. Immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." Faith is a gift. We can and must persevere in asking for it so that we can collaborate with God in giving hope to others. Focolare founder Kara Lubick wrote in a commentary to A Word of Life from October 2004, quote, "To believe and to feel that God looks at us and loves us means that every prayer, everything that happens, whether good, bad, or indifferent, every illness, every single thing is seen by God. If God is love, then the most logical thing we can do is trust him completely. We can confide in him and tell him about our concerns, our proposals, and all that we plan to do. Each one of us can abandon ourselves to his love with complete confidence that we will be understood, comforted, and helped. We can say to him, 'Lord, let me stay in your love. Don't let me live for a single moment without feeling, recognizing, and knowing through faith or from experience that you love me and every one of us.' Then we can continue to love. Loving makes our faith become solid and steadfast. We will not only believe in God's love, but we will also feel it within our souls. We will see miracles happen around us." End quote.
You know, this is, as I was reading this again and following with you as you were reading it, It's I'm glad we're going to have this posted on the website because it's something that needs to be reread, yeah. I think, several times.
Right.
Because there's a lot of information in here. And
yeah, it's true. I mean, the depth of God is endless. I mean, we could mm-hmm. never say, I've got it. The person who says, I know God, doesn't know a thing, doesn't understand a thing. So there's no way that anyone with our logic, with our mentality, with our studies, even the greatest degreed person on the face of the earth can ever say, I know God. And the letter of St. John, the first letter of St. John says, if you say you know God and don't love your neighbor, then you're a liar. And who of us loves our neighbor completely? I mean, there's always some kind of conflict. There's some kind of difficulty. I mean, we're especially in our society today, we're very ego-driven. Which then eliminates other people. So, as you said, it's something that we have to continually go back to continually return to. You know, when you're talking about faith, the image of Jesus on the water in the boat when the waves and the wind started kicking up and the boat was being tossed about, and he remained comfortable and kind of asleep there on the cushion, but the apostles didn't. They got up and they were very anxious and agitated and asked Jesus to help. If you care about us, then help. And he asked them about where is your faith, you know. So it's when moments like this for this child's father come about, when our hope, our anxiousness rises, our hope diminishes, and the anxious moments of life kind of take over, that the Lord wants faith. He wants us to say, okay, now show me the faith that you have. And so he did ask for this father's faith, and the man replied very beautifully, I do believe, I do have faith, but help my lack of faith, my unbelief. And I think that's something for us, perhaps those words alone in Gibbons. Perhaps those words alone in given situations for us throughout this month can help us to understand that, yes, we can say I have faith, but many times it's an intellectual faith.
Interesting.
Somebody says, well, tell me about your faith. Well, we start rattling off all that we know about something about something about the sacrament, something about the gospel maybe. But when it comes down to my son is ill, in this case, my son has epilepsy, almost mm-hmm. dead, could die. Jesus is saying, okay, show me your faith. In other words, what that means is turn your life over to me. Turn the situation over to me. Don't tell me what you know from your catechism book or whatever, which we need. We need to understand as best we can. But the catechism and what we learn is a minor part of understanding God. It's not knowledge of God. No one has total knowledge, not even St. Thomas. He admits, I don't have knowledge of God. I try to understand.
Right.
But in those moments where it is difficult, where it hits right to the soul, it's in those moments that the Lord says to us, show me your faith. Show me your trust. Show me that you do believe in me as Lord and Savior, that you do believe in me as the Son of God here, a gift of God for you. Show me that. And where that is lacking or weak, that's where these words of the Father today can help us so beautifully. I do believe, that help my unbelief. In other words, I don't even have to believe on my own. That belief is a grace. Belief, faith is a grace. It's a gift. It's not something that is innate in us that we can do on our own. There'll always be moments of trial. In fact, the book of the Hebrews says that Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. When our lives are tested, when situations are such that they're beyond our powers, that's when the Lord comes in and says, now show me your faith, trust in me, and all things are possible.
A lot for us to reflect on. Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, we humbly implore your majesty that just as your only begotten Son was presented on this day in the temple in the substance of our flesh, so by your grace we may be presented to you with minds made pure. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.